Welcome back inside the cave on this Thursday morning. And as always, our regular guest on Inside the Cave, John Morton from the Wolverine Magazine. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Pat. Great to be with you.
Well, Michigan has gotten rid of the cupcakes, and we're getting down to business now with the Big Ten season as the Wolverines take on Maryland this coming Saturday, a noon kickoff. And I guess, what's the scouting report on the Maryland Terrapins?
Well, first of all, it is good to be back to Big Ten football. And, you know, you look at a game finally that folks won't be safe leaving at halftime, I suspect. And as far as Maryland's concerned, it's, I think for Michigan, kind of a great half test, I would call it, coming out of that non-conference schedule, because I believe for the first time this year, Michigan's defense will be significantly tested. Maryland's a team that can really put the points up. They're averaging 40 a game so far this year. Talia Tugalova is an excellent quarterback, dual threat, can do it all. You've got him throwing to the likes of Rakeem Jarrett, who is a very good wide receiver. Roman Hemby, their tailback, who is excellent himself. Those probably are the three most talented players that Michigan will have faced all year long. And like I said, this is a team that can put some points on the board. So this defensive unit, which has really had its way against competition that just wasn't up there, is going to get a true test, and that is good for them at this point. As far as the offense is concerned, Maryland's defense is not really all that much to be too fearful about, and I think that Michigan's offense will continue to roll, and that's why I give Michigan more than a 50% chance to win this football game, because I think they'll keep scoring a lot of points. The number one scoring team in the nation right now, averaging 55. They won't hit 55 or even all that close to it, but they will certainly put up some points, enough to win this game.
You talked about the Michigan defense. Where is the vulnerability, as you see it, in the Michigan defense that Maryland might go after?
Well, we're going to find that out, because certainly the young secondary and a very much revamped secondary has been have just really had a pass so far, because Michigan hasn't had to defend a lot of good throwing teams. And now I think with having to guard all the gates, watch a quarterback who can take off and run as well as throw, you're going to see Michigan safeties get the test. I'm not saying that they're the weak spot, but I think they are an area where, okay, let's step up and take the next level of proving it. The same goes for Michigan's linebackers outside of Junior Colson, who it looks like a stalwart in there. These other guys are going to have to respond and not only read their keys well and know run from pass, but be able to cover.
Hey, John, Jeff here with you this morning as well. And, you know, you said something in there, too, that this is one of those things with having such a soft schedule is you really don't know where you sit at. I mean, you know what you have good. You know what you can build on the good side, but you haven't been tested, either offensively or defensively. And so, some of your cracks or your kinks in your armor might not have even shown up yet.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And you start to see when they're tested at a higher level. Yes, at this point, Michigan hasn't given much up through the air and hasn't given, well, really all around defensively. And part of that is they've been able to get pressure on quarterbacks. What if you come across a team? What if Maryland protects better than what we've seen? Then you're going to see the coverage, and then you're going to find out what you have there. Even on the offensive side, certainly J.J. McCarthy has been able to pick people apart in his two starts, and you'll see, I think you'll see more of that. But if you're not able to, if a team is laying back like UConn did in the pass coverage and not giving you anything over the top and deep, can you still get it done in the run game and be dominant and do it that way as opposed to, you know, trying to force some things? So I agree. We're going to see get a much bigger picture of Michigan this week, particularly the defense, and then a week down the road, we're going to find out a real test for the offense at Iowa, which itself features a terrible offense so far, but a pretty staunch defense.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. When you know Maryland will test you in Iowa, you know they can't score, but they can stop people from scoring. So it is. The next 2 weeks are really key, I think, and I think probably from the coaching side, allowing the coaches and the staff to really look at the personnel and go, okay, do we have everybody in the right spot? Because we need to in the next 2 weeks. After these next 2 weeks, the season really starts.
I would agree with that, and that's why it's kind of Michigan's schedule is really interesting. A lot of people decried the fact that they weren't severely tested in the early going, and I get that. And most years they will throw in that bigger test in the first three games. But I think in this one they've have been able to play a ton of younger players, almost 100 in one or two of those games. And you've gotten their feet wet, and now you have 2 weeks in a row, what I would consider half tests, because one side of the ball or the other is going to get that more of a test in that game. And as you said, after that, things start to ramp up. You're building towards probably the two toughest games overall in the regular season before you get to Columbus, which is Penn State and Michigan State, despite Michigan State's obvious issues in the secondary right now. So I think that Michigan's schedule has probably done it good this year, but the true test of that is, okay, how do you follow through right now?
Well, and you know, as much as people have want to rip on Michigan by looking at, well, they're taking on the two worst teams in Division I and yada yada, but you know what? They haven't gone out into the FBS stuff either. You look at a lot of these schools that go down to that second level of talent and go, okay, at least Michigan is at least still playing D1 schools.
That's true, and you know they're not to overly defend the schedule, but Colorado State has been good in the past.
And yep.
When you make these years out in advance, you don't always know. I think you can usually count on Hawaii and UConn to not be a whole lot. But remember, originally UCLA was on the schedule for this year and next, and Michigan canceled that one out, thinking it had something else in the works, and that fell through. And I know that because I had a nice long sit down with Ward Manuel one-on-one just a week ago, and we talked about a number of things. Scheduling was one of them.
Looking at some of the stats, John, looking at the Michigan offense, I think there were 20 players who received the ball via the pass. Are we going to see a little bit more conservative Michigan offense getting into the Big Ten season?
I would say things will tighten personnel-wise, and kind of like you shorten your bench in basketball when you get to the Big Ten season. They won't be throwing to 15 receivers in a game or things like that. But as far as how they attack, I really think that that's going to be a function of, I mean, even like it was last week, UConn was laying back. J.J. McCarthy says, okay, I'm going to attack short, get the ball in the hands of people that are going to be able to do it. They're going to run the ball. it is really in genuinely a take what the defense is giving you sort of situation. So we'll see how Maryland deploys and how they try to slow this offense down. One thing I think J.J. McCarthy in his two starts has done has shown a real maturity in two things. One, like I said, taking what the defense gave you against UConn, but in all games, underscoring the fact that he can take care of the football and make good decisions. That was probably the remaining roadblock to him taking over as quarterback, and that's been something that since the last 2 weeks of fall camp and into this regular season, he has really shown well. Gets tested more now. We'll see. But so far, so good on that count.
What's the word on the Cade front with the injury?
Just going to ask that.
Well, yeah. Cade is lower body injury, and it's going to be week to week depending on how his healing progresses. I would not expect him to see him in the next couple of weeks from what Jim Harbaugh has said. But that being said, he's fairly tight with injury information. Certainly the faster you can get him back and healthy, the better off you are, because you know you're one play away from having guys that are far less tested, at least at Michigan, getting out there and being your full-time quarterback. So it's still a little shrouded in mystery as to the exact timeline for Cade McNamara, but my guess is it will be they'll be definitely wanting to get him ready for that tougher middle part of the schedule.
Another injury too. Donovan Edwards went out with an undisclosed injury. Any word on him?
I think that one could be a game time decision for Michigan. You're in that situation where you've seen enough out of your running back. Certainly Blake Corum doing a bang-up job so far. The freshman C.J. Stokes has really shown some great flashes early. And so that buys you a little time. You want to be careful and make sure that Donovan Edwards is fully ready to go. So I wouldn't rule him out for this weekend, but I would say they're going to be cautious with him and make sure that he's back up to speed.
We were talking at the beginning of the season, possibly 2,000-yard rushers with Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum. But since Edwards has been out here a couple of games, maybe that might be too far of a stretch.
Yeah, I think you see things happen. That's football, and things change quickly in that area. Blake Corum would have had 1,000 yards last year had he not had the high ankle sprain later in the season. And so that's just, you know, those numbers are fun and nice individually, but you have to be ready to adjust. I mean, you could see a situation if Donovan Edwards is out for any length of time beyond what he has, you might see a C.J. Stokes end up rushing for 500 yards as a true freshman. So you're going to make up for that in some area, because Michigan definitely has the talent in the backfield.
Well, and again, and that's one of those things where you know what you have in Donovan Edwards, so you don't want to rush it. You don't want to hurt it. If you can get away with what you have in, you know, Corum and spelling him with Stokes, then you know that's going to be better for the rest of the season to have a healthier Donovan Edwards later than a lingering injury throughout.
Exactly. And, you know, the same goes, you saying that reminds me of something that Steve Klinkscale, the secondary coach, was talking about and saying that, you know, he had some guys that were really camping at the bit because, 40 snaps, you know, I want to play 60. I want to play 80. Klinkscale said, look, there's a time coming when I'm going to ask you to play 80 or 90 snaps, and you will be better off for the way you've been deployed in this non-conference season with fresher legs later in the season. And so you saying, you know, if you can get by for a while without these other guys, they're going to be that much better and fresher when the Penn States and the Michigan States and the Ohio States roll around. So I would agree with that.
All right. We're about out of time here, John, but certainly we want to tell folks how they can get copies of the Wolverine magazine. I know I just got my digital edition of the Wolverine this past week with J.J. McCarthy on the cover.
Absolutely. J.J. McCarthy on the cover, Ward Manuel, big, lengthy, in-depth discussion inside on him, Carol Hutchins' retirement, all of that. Very well covered, and lots on football, as always. Folks can get the magazine by calling 800-421-7751. And remember to check us out every single day on the On3.com network. We are there under the Wolverine and churning out the copy and the podcast and all of that every single day.
John, thank you very much for being with us every week here on The Cave. We'll see you on Saturday at the Big House.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. John Borton from the Wolverine magazine, our guest here on Inside The Cave.